The following shiur has been presented by Rev Shraga Kallis, Reish Koilel at the Beis Havad Halacha Koilel in Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. The center can be reached for dispute resolution and many other halachic services at 888-485-VAAD or at thehalachacenter.org.
Agamar and Brachas and Daf Memalef and Beis introduces us to a new concept, something that to us seems like a tremendous chiddush, and Mir Tashem will see that l'chaira, what was simple to us until now, was the tremendous chiddush. And what the Gemara is mechadish is actually quite simple. The Gemara over here introduces us to a concept of a person that in the middle of a meal is going to be making brachas. Itmar yavi l'fan of teinim v'anovim b'toy chasuda amavuna tunim bracha l'fneim vein tunim bracha l'chreim. And the Kenamar of Nachman, Tunim Bracha Lefneim, Vein Tunim Bracha Lechreim. And this to us seems like a shocking statement. We grew up used to the idea that a person, he eats bread, and once he eats bread, that's the wild card. That he doesn't have to make any more brachas. You eat bread, and you don't have to make any more brachas on the chicken, on the soup, on everything. And all of a sudden, the Gemara seems to introduce us to a situation of where, hagam, that the person ate bread, albeit he ate bread, he still has to make a bracha on the fruit. And this, of course, requires an arichas, an explanation. What foods does the bread take care of? When I make a bracha on bread, which foods are potered? And which foods are not potered? Once I have my bread, would I have to make a bracha now on chicken? So at first glance, it's hard for us to understand because we got used to this fact. When you have a bracha on bread, that takes care of everything. But really, in essence, it's actually the opposite. Really, if you think about it, and there's a tremendous question over here. Why is it that when I make a bracha on bread, that should take care of all the foods? Why is it I make a bracha on bread, and now I don't have to make a bracha on chicken? For example, let's say a person by mistake, he was a little bit tired, and he said, Baruch Atah Hashem L'keinu Melech Ha'ilom, Ha'moitzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, and a piece of chicken. Of course, he's not Yotze. Avadi would have to make another bracha. Why all of a sudden that he made a bracha on bread and it patters the chicken? The question has to be the other way. Why is it when I make a bracha on bread that it patters my rice, that it patters my pasta, my soup, etc.? We got used to understandings, seemingly a tremendous chiddush. And the emes, Rashi, in our Sugyan, Memalef on the base, learns a pshat which is a little bit more understandable to us. Rashi learns that the klal, what the Gemara says at the end of the Gemara, Amar Papa Hilchus Advarim, that our boy in Machmas Asuda, Betoich Asuda, Ain Tarim Bracha, Loy Lefneim, Veloy Lachreim. Rashi says, what does it mean, things that come Machmas Asuda? Rashi explains that it means, like you have a sandwich, and you have tuna on the sandwich, so the tuna doesn't need a bracha. And this is the general concept that we know already in the upcoming Mishnah on Daf Mem Dalet of Iker V'Tafel, that I make a bracha on the Iker food, and that patters the Tafel. And that we sort of understand Rashi. We can deal with Rashi. In the next line in the Gemara, Shaloi Machmas Asuda, something that a person has which is not part of the Suda, which Rashi explains like we would say rice, like Daisa, Rashi says, which is like some type of a macaroni or something, a farina, that is not Machmas Asuda. And in our language, we would explain that that's not something which is eaten together with bread mamish. So Rashi says, that does need a bracha. And Be'etzim, that to us would have to make sense, because why, if I make a bracha on a piece of bread, should that pater a separate piece of chicken? And that's really how Rashi learns. The only thing is that Lalacha, Taisus, the Rabbeinu Yoina, the Rishayinim, they all argue on Rashi. And simply because they ask on Rashi, then what's the Chiddush? If Be'emis, the person is eating the bread with the tuna fish, so then of course he doesn't make a bracha on tuna. That's the regular Gemara of Vamavarech HaLeikar, Paiter Zatvelo, the Gemara and Brachas, and Daf Mem Dalet. So because of this, Taisus, Rabbeinu Yoina, and this is, of course, brought down the halacha in Simin Kufayin Zayin, the Mishabura, the Shulchan Aruch, Bariches, learn a whole entire different pshat in this Gemara, which is really the basis of how we pass an halacha l'maisa, which is that when the Gemara says that dvarim that are boyim machmas asuda, I'll be mitzatid the lashon of the Rabbeinu Yoin over here. Rabbeinu Yoin explains that eggs, meat, chicken, all these things are eaten as the ikar suda, and they're eaten for the same purpose as the bread. Dahainu, a person has bread, and the Gemara Shulchan Aruch already said, Torah says that alechem yichya adam, lechem is the most important part, main staple, especially you can imagine in their society, that bread was the ikar purpose of the Suda, and the bread was coming to masbiya, was coming to fill them up. Now, we are going to be introduced here to a new idea of Ikar V'Tafel. We know the idea of Ikar V'Tafel, that you have a cracker and you take some cream cheese on it, and of course you don't have to make a bracha on the cream cheese because it's tafel. We all look at this as a cracker, it's all a cracker, etc., etc. That idea of Ikar V'Tafel we're used to. Here, we're being introduced to a new Ikar V'Tafel. What if I have a food which is coming for the same purpose as the bread? And bread, we know, is the mainstay, the main staple, the ikar of the Suda. The ikar of the Suda is the bread, which is coming to be maspia. It's coming to fill a person up. All of the foods which are on the same team as the bread, which are coming to fill a person up, be it chicken, be it the meat, be it the macaroni, be it the soup, all that is coming for the same purpose, lehaspia. They're not coming to give a person a sweet taste. They're not coming to give a person just a little lift, a little boost. They're coming to fill him up. That's his meal. So then there's a new idea, a new type of an ikar v'tafel. There's ikar, purpose of the meal, which is laspia, anything which is on the same team as that purpose is going to be tuffled to the bracha of a moitzi. Whereas if I would make a moitzi on chicken straight, of course you're not yaitze. Right? But here, if I can be metafel, I can take the chicken and make it tuffled to the same idea of the bread. The bread is coming to fill a person up, and the chicken's coming to fill a person up, then it is tuffled, and I do not need a bracha. It's a tremendous chiddush. What was nischadish in our Gemara? But when we say it like that, it gives us a whole new perspective on what we do every day. We take a piece of bread, we make a moitzi, and then we have chicken, and then we have a burger, we have a this, we have a steak, we have rice, soup, everything, vegetables for that matter, and we don't make another bracha. Now we have to appreciate that that's a tremendous chiddush. Betzim, we should have to make a bracha on chicken. Why is it I made a bracha on a moitzi and doesn't bother the chicken? And we can accept that that's what it says in our Gemara, that if it's coming, machmas asuda, and the shame suda is the bread, so then anything on the same team as the bread is tuffled to the bread, and the bracha will work also for the chicken. But with this in mind, it sheds light on the whole sugya, because now, says Rabbeinu Yoina, the next line in the Gemara, that dvarim that are loy machmas asuda, things that are not coming, lehasbia, they're not coming on the same team as the bread, they're not coming for the purpose of filling the person up. They're coming to give the person, like we say, nizazizkait, they're coming to give him sweetness, they're coming to give him some nice taste, not for the purpose. The person has a piece of chocolate. A person has a date, a grape, like the items that are mentioned in our sugya. A person has these foods, not for the purpose of filling him up. And even if, let's say, for example, it could be that sometimes he will eat it, but the general norm of what society is that the foods that are given for sweetness, foods that are usually dessert-type foods, are not coming for the purpose of filling him up. And it's actually, and everyone knows in themselves that, you know, you just can't eat too much chocolate, and you just can't eat too much grapes, you can't eat too much fruit. They don't have that same potential, they don't have the same ability. A person can only eat so much fruit, so much chocolate. And that's why in our sugya, Mavur, and this is Gepaskin, and Shulchan Aruch, and Tzimekufay, and Zion, clearly by the Paiskim, that if a person has bread, the bread will only pat to the food which are on the same team as the bread, chicken for that matter, meat, etc. But fruits and dessert type foods, chocolate, we'll see in a moment about ice cream, all these foods seemingly and clearly la halacha require a bracha. So much so, said Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach, you know, they once asked him, a person has a fruit cocktail in the beginning of the meal. Okay? So they asked him, does he need a bracha on the fruit in the beginning of the meal? So Shlomo Zalman said, it's a mistake. Avada, you need a bracha on the fruit in the beginning of the meal. Because this sugya has nothing to do with where you position the dessert. The idea is that the bread does not pater the fruit. And we understand this. We have a hard time understanding why bread should pater chicken. So now we'll accept that. It's on the same team. But once you'll have a food which is not the same team as the bread, so then of course it should not get patered with the bracha of the bread. And therefore, that's why a person, if you would have an apple in the middle of the meal, you have nuts, right? You have grapes, you would have a piece of chocolate in the middle of the meal. It says in Shulchan Aruch, you'd have to make a bracha. It is brought in Mishneh Berurah like this. It's known that the Mishneh Berurah himself, the Chofetz Chaim, they say at the end of his life, that Taka he had kompot, and kompot is of course a cooked fruits, and that Taka he didn't make a bracha. It's a story in the Mishneh Berurah. Now again, you really can't paskin out of stories, but this story they do say about the Chofetz Chaim. The Maisa, there are many that miyashiv this, and they say that of course the Mishneh Berurah was not chayzer, about the Mishneh Berurah, and that's really, it's hard to say not the Mishneh Berurah is chayzer. The Gemara says it clearly, and the Shulchan Aruch says it clearly, that things that are not coming for the purpose of the Suda, they're not coming to fill a person up, you have to make a bracha, because where's the bracha? And it's a very serious shaila, because, you know, the Gemara says we saw in brachas that kala geizel, now a person doesn't make a bracha, kala nana, without making a bracha, it goes all from Shemayim. It's a tremendous kepeda. It's a tremendous kepeda that a person has to be careful to chas v'shalom not to steal. the story with the Chafetz Chaim. So that they say that the Chafetz Chaim, at the end of his life, because he was unable to eat properly, and he had a very, very small stomach in here at that point, so this was mamish for him, like the chicken. It was coming to fill him up, and it was mamish, it was the only thing he ate. That was his ikar meal, which bam, the lachas could change if that's the situation. If taka, that the person only has bread and apples, it could be that the chalachas are different, which is beyond the scope of today's shir. The akapanim la halacha, that is clearly gepaskin, and all of our priests can take on like that, that a person has to make a bracha in the middle of a meal on foods that are not covered by the bread, number one. Number two is, so how far do we take this? And now we understand that it's not just dessert at the end of the meal, it's in the beginning of the meal. But for example, there's a Gemara in Megillah on Daf Zayin that says explicitly that there's always room for dessert. The Gemara says that the Bamis, you see this in, also in Shulchan Aruch in certain places, but that you see that the Gemara in Megillah and Daf Zayin says that people would have dessert. You see, it's in the first, that it wasn't, this dessert concept is not a new concept, it's an old concept. Even in our Gemara, you see they would have dessert. And therefore, you see, it has nothing to do with the fact that people like to say that nowadays we have dessert, and they didn't have dessert, so it should be patted with the bread. But obviously, that is a mistake in halacha. And of course, la halacha, you have to make a bracha on apples in the middle of the meal, and chocolate in the middle of the meal, etc. The shaila is how far-reaching is this? What about cake, right? What if a person has cake? So cake, technically, again, in the meal, at the end of the meal, technically it should come out. A person has cake or has crackers for that matter, pretzels. So then technically, according to the rules that we're seeing now, derech klal, a person has cake, it's at the end of the meal, he's having a dessert, he's having just something to, a sweetness, some type of a sweetness, it's not coming for the purpose of filling him up. However, here, by default, the Chofetz Chaim explains that there's a separate reason why a person wouldn't make a bracha on cakes, ragalach, and these types of foods. The Chofetz Chaim says that since we see taka in our sugya, the sugya here, and the sugya taka on tomorrow's daf, on daf membeis, that there's a concept known as pasav avakisnin, and we're not sure which mezainis is taka, what we call mezainis might really be the bracha of hamaitzi. There's different conditions for something to be a hamaitzi, and it's not clear taka in halacha is cake hamaitzi, is pretzels hamaitzi, is, so we, la halacha, we take on that all these things are mezainis, misafik, but in a situation of where I made a bracha of hamaitzi already, so then by default, we're not going to allow you to make a bracha of mezainis on a piece of cake, because it's quite possible that the bracha really is hamaitzi. Normally, we don't say that. Normally, we say that, you know, on a cake, of course, the person makes a mezainis. But let's say by mistake, Yitaka made a bracha of hamaitzi, or like in this case, he made a bracha of hamaitzi on his meal. So then by default, we wouldn't allow him to make a bracha of mezainis on the cake. Now, be'emis, there is a situation of where a person would taka have to make a bracha of mezainis in the middle of a meal on a type of a cake, which it's a type of a cake which would have all three of the conditions of the upcoming sugya that the Rishayim discuss over there. It's a little bit beyond the scope, but I'll say just bekitzer that there are three conditions that make something into a vadai mezainis, into for sure a halakhika mezainis and not a maitzi, which is if it has, it's a sweet type of a dough and it's a filled dough like a strudel type and it's crackly. It's something that has a outside that has a crackly type of a texture. And if it would have all of these three tznayim, which generally is like a type of a strudel, so then taka, that's a real mezainis bivadai. And if he would have it in the meal for the purpose of just tam a dessert, he's already full and he's having it as a just to push it as a zis, something as a sweetness. So then taka, the Mishnah Berurah would say in that case he would have to actually make a bracha of mezainis. Now there are mezainises that a person would make a bracha on in the middle of the meal. For example, bizli and these types of cooked sweet mezainises, you know, the falafel bits and the onion rings and these things that are mezainis and they're certainly cooked, so they're certainly not the type of a pasa babakistan food. They are mezainis, which by all means, a person would eat thousands of them, he wouldn't have to bench. And that type of a mezainis in the middle of a meal, you take a bizli, you make a bracha on the bizli, you make a mezainis. The strawberries with bananas and cream and these things, of course, like we're saying, you would make a bracha. There are poiskim that say on a fruit soup, that taka has a more of a pseudo type nature. And therefore, in such a case, he would taka not make a bracha. That would taka be butl to the suda, and he wouldn't have to make a bracha on a fruit soup. But this is actually debatable. It might even be a goodbye that a person would potter himself. Carrots and simis, even though it's sweet, we can imagine that's eaten as a chalik of the suda. It's eaten for the purpose of being a maspia person. And therefore, he wouldn't have to make a bracha on the carrots and on the simis in the middle of a meal. The shaila is by forceps, like grapefruits and things that people have in the beginning of a meal. This is a tremendous machlekes in the paiskim. The idea is that we all know that on vegetables, for example, in the middle of a meal, we talk it don't make a bracha. Why is it that on vegetables we don't make a bracha? It's not mamish coming for the purpose of being maspia. So it's based on a taisvis in Pesachim Agudav Koftes, which discusses the Indian of Mar, that it could be that vegetables are also on the same team as the bread for a different reason, because we know that vegetables have an acidic koyach to be megarer the leiv, taisvis explains over there. They open up the person's appetite, they open up his stomach, it's an appetite stimulator, and therefore it's quite possible that that is certainly, yes, coming on the same team as the bread, giving the person the ability to eat, and that would also be included in the bracha of the ma'itzi. The question is that if a person has something like a grapefruit, so this in the paiskim is debatable, if grapefruit also has that acidic purpose, and that really is probably the kavana of the original balabasta who served grapefruit in the middle of the meal, was that a person would eat this and it would open up their appetite, and therefore there are paiskim, the takasei, that on grapefruit, you wouldn't make a bracha. It's patterned with the hamoitzi. However, this is also, again, it's debatable, and therefore it could be that a person should probably try to patter himself up with a fruit that vadai requires a bracha in the middle of the meal. The Magen Avraham in Kofayin Dalet discusses schnapps, for example. A person has a little whiskey in the middle of the meal. So generally on Shabbos, it's not a problem, because if you had a grape, you had wine or grape juice, that patterns all the drinks. But let's say he didn't have any grape juice and he wants to have a little bit of schnapps. So this is it's a big fight. The Mishneh Berurah is not so happy about it, for example, and he says maybe you should pati yourself, you should have a piece of sugar or something, you should pati yourself. And the Chayodam, the Kitza, the Aruch HaShulchan, they all discuss this shaila, because again, the same idea, schnapps is something which is not, even though we got used to drinks being patered from the meal and patered from the bread, but schnapps is not really a drink which is coming for the same purpose as the Suda. It's really the chayra giving a person an extra lift. Or do you say no? Schnapps is something which is coming to open up the person's appetite, which certainly it does do, and therefore it's possible that on schnapps he wouldn't require a bracha. This is the a debate, it's a machlekes, and therefore maybe a person should talk about himself, take a piece of chocolate, and not get involved in the shaila. The cantaloupe, a person who would have cantaloupe as the first dish, so really the doctors say that there's no connection bichlal to being opening up the appetite. A cantaloupe is a simple fruit and it just does not release acid that opens up the stomach, and this is why Rosh Shlomo Zalman is quoted to have said that you have to make a bracha on cantaloupe. There are probably going to say not like this, because maybe your purpose in giving the cantaloupe is to open up the fruit, but it's a very difficult thing to say, because if in medically it's proven not like that and it doesn't actually open up the stomach, and we have a Gemara over here which seems to say that fruits which are not coming on the purpose on the team of the suda of the bread l'chayre require bracha. The last thing is drinks. After hearing all this, so what's the halacha l'gabe drink? Do I have to make a drink, a bracha on a coke in the middle of a suda? So before we would have started this year, it would have sounded like a very strange question to make a bracha on a drink. Of course not. Who doesn't know? You eat bread and the vada that potters up the drinks. Who doesn't know such a thing? But when you look over here in Taisus is very busy trying to figure out what's the halacha l'gabe drink. Because now we can understand this. A drink is not coming with spoya, right? It's not a forshbite. It's not something which is opening up his appetite. So perhaps a drink, you should have to make a bracha. And the Shulchan Aruch really is chayshish for that. He says, therefore, a person should make a bracha maybe before the meal on a drink, because it's a whole shaila. It could be that a drink is not included in the suda, and it's not included in filling the person up. Now the Ramah, la loch of the Ashkenazim, is not like that. The Ramah says we don't do that, and it is potter. And the idea, of course, is that it helps digest the food, as Taisus discusses over here. Yeah, about a person drinks to be able to get the food down easier, etc. So we could understand that a drink does not require a bracha. The only thing is that with this Havana, it's very troublesome. L'chaira, the Hanhaga that is brought, B'shem Rav Moshe, the Gaon Rav Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Tzedua, said that on ice cream, a person wouldn't make a bracha. Tzedua, Rav Moshe used to say that in ice cream, in the normal meal, you don't make a bracha. Now, what is said B'shem Rav Moshe, it's unfortunate, it's not tshuva, but what's said B'shem Rav Moshe is that the ice cream is really just a drink. And ice cream is something that if it would melt down, it would be a drink. And just like during a meal, a person doesn't make a bracha on a Coca-Cola, on even water for that matter, or anything, so then ice cream is no different. Ice cream is also just a drink. The maisa, there's two reasons why this is difficult. Number one, ice cream in the form that it's in right now, of course, is not a drink. Right? Ice cream in the form it is right now, that a person eats it and that's the enjoyment he gets out of it, is not a drink. It's actually a solid. In halacha, in Hilchos Shabbos, there are many paiskim that hold that if a person has ice cream that has melted, it's not a problem of noilet, because since the components that make up ice cream are generally all solid, halachic or solid foods, yavishtika foods in halacha, so therefore it's not even called a noilet. It went from a solid to a solid. Again, that by us, it looks like a liquidy mush, but it's not considered halachically a liquid, perhaps. So the idea that ice cream itself is a liquid itself is debatable. And number two, in the form that I'm eating it right now, it is certainly a solid, which is why it's very difficult to say that a person wouldn't make a bracha on ice cream. Ice cream is not potted by the bread. Ice cream albeit even if one would consider it a drink, even if one would consider ice cream a drink, there would be another taina why one would make a bracha on ice cream, because we just saw it's not at all simple that drinks are potted with the bread. We had a hard time explaining why a person takes a regular drink and the bread covers it. So the Sfardim attack very, very against that. And Ashkenazim, we're makel. The reason we're makel on it, the Ramah says, is because, like Taisa says, it's something that is coming maybe to digest the food. And therefore, when a person drinks in the middle of the meal, it's coming on the same purpose of the Suda. It's all a hemshech of the Suda. It's all aiding the Suda to enable the person to get filled up. But Mashen Kain, if you would find a drink that, even if it was a liquid, but it was clearly not coming for the purpose of helping the food go down. It was clearly coming as a dessert type of food. It's coming clearly to give a person a lift, to give a person a little bit of a sweetness. So then the fact that something is a drink is not a reason to potter it from a bracha. And that's why this psak is very difficult. And there are many, many paiskim, Shlomo Zalman, and Yibam Chaim Toivim, Rabbi Yashiv Zazangazun, that taka hold that on ice cream in the middle of a meal, he would taka make a bracha mistama. Of course, it's kedai to be chayshish for the great of Moshe, and that a person probably should take a piece of chocolate before he has ice cream. And I would imagine, I was actually under the impression by somebody who told me that Moshe himself, even though he said maybe not to make a bracha on ice cream, but he agreed that one should probably patter himself and not just eat the ice cream without a bracha. At least we'll call it at least a suffix. And if a person should at least try to have a piece of chocolate before he has ice cream. The maisa, something to think about is, let's say a person in the middle of a meal, he wants to have a coffee. Right? The reason he's having the coffee is because he's very tired. Right? Like, he could have been having this coffee not during the meal, but at the end of the meal, or in the middle of the meal for that matter, he decides his mamish really tired and he wants to have a coffee. So here you'd have to, based on what we spoke about today, you'd have to wonder, would this coffee require bracha? Here the coffee is not coming for the purpose of helping the food, and that's clear. In general, the Mishnah Berurah has a suffix, and the Chasholkin discusses if a coffee in general is considered a part of the pseudo. How do you look at coffee? Is coffee coming to digest the food? Is it coming to aid the suda, etc.? But in this specific case, the way we're describing it, here it would be very difficult to say that the coffee is a part of the suda when he's clearly, his entire intention is just to have the coffee in order to wake him up, which is clearly not a chelik of the suda. And in this case, mistam, a person should probably have some other food to pater, like we said before, maybe a piece of chocolate or a sugar to get out of the bracha. So that's al kapanim, we were Zaycha today to a whole new understanding that which we took on till now was so simple, so pashit. The body make a bracha on bread and the pot is everything. We realize that's a tremendous chiddush. That bread should pater chicken is the chiddush. But that which bread doesn't pater chocolate, or that bread doesn't pater apples, that makes a lot of sense to us.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.